Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your service, your obedience to the directives of the Father. We celebrate your name, which is above every other name, the name to which all knees must bow and every tongue confess. The things in the heavens, the things in the earth, and the things under the earth. Arise in the fullness of your splendor and display the glory of the Father in every realm, that men may turn to you, the only true God, in worship and in adoration. Blessed be your name, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's good to have you here tonight for our time of study in the Word of the Lord. Today, we'll continue in our study through the book of Proverbs. We are in the 10th chapter. I believe we came as far as verse 9 or 10 last week. Verse Verse 9 says, "He that walketh uprightly, walketh surely. But he that perverteth his ways shall be known." That's a very interesting statement. It says, "He that walketh uprightly, walketh surely." In essence, when you walk uprightly, you're walking in the light. Hallelujah. And your walk will be sure. There is no stumbling. But he that perverted his ways shall be known. Known for what? Known as a pervert. Known as a deceiver. Known as one that cannot be trusted. We need to understand that there are principles in the Word of God, and that these principles are meant for our well-being. Every time God speaks to us through His Word, He's trying to make us better, more like Him. Amen? And when we refuse that, it would be very clear this person did not follow the ways of God. If he followed the ways of God, then this should not be happening. Generally, that is the case. But there are times when you're doing the right thing and bad things happen. How many of you have experienced that or seen somebody who's doing good, but bad things happen? Yeah, because there is a real devil that wants to pervert the ways of God, that wants to challenge the Word of God, that wants to make certain that what God says is not true in your life. So, what is the antidote to that? You knowing in yourself that you are walking uprightly before God. And no matter what the attack is, you're still stable. No matter what's happening, you still come out through this storm. You know, how many storms did the Lord Jesus Christ go through? But he came out at the other end, the victor, not the victim. That must be how we approach life on a daily basis. Then it goes on, it says, "He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall." Here, it is not the case of good and bad. Here it gives us two bad experiences. "He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow." And the idea in here is winking has to do with messing around. Wink, wink, not the truth. You understand what I mean? Winking has a bad connotation. He says, if you are not straightforward, you're going to cause sorrow. You're busy winking, not serious, you're going to cause sorrow. And then, colon, meaning here, in this particular case, that this second aspect is explaining the first aspect. But a prating fool shall fall. Now, we talked about the parting aspect last week. In parting, in the English word, is a person who, by their lips, establish boundaries with their talk. A prating fool inhibits good success in their lives. They just talk foolishly. He says, you're going to, just like the winker, you don't take him seriously and you don't want to deal with that. So is the prating fool. The word is safar, the Hebrew word. And it's a word that says, hey, there's a boundary, a border, an edge, a limitation that is put in place by the talk of the person. So there's always limits because your talk doesn't allow people to take you seriously because you're a yapper. What is the word of God saying to us then? It's saying, don't be fooling around, talking anyhow. Don't be that person that's always wink, wink, not serious. Don't let people look down on you because that is going to limit you. That is very important. While the mouth of the prater is bringing limitations, the word of God says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. There's no foolish talk here. The righteous man is speaking and there's life coming out of his mouth. You're encouraged, you're lifted up, you're filled with hope. Because he's speaking out of the mindset of righteousness. The mouth of a righteous, a well of life. Now, you will notice that I removed the man is, because that is an added statement to clarify the statement. So man is not in the original text. So if we read the mouth of a righteous, a well of life, what we are hearing very clearly is this, that the mouth of a righteous man is a wellspring of life. Every time he speaks, whether you're male or female, life is being released. Now we must ask ourselves, therefore, this question. When I speak, am I speaking life? For the word of God says, we'll find out 8 chapters hence, the power of life and death. It's right there in the tongue. Yeah? So, the prater, who's foolish, all he's speaking is death. The righteous is speaking life into situations, no matter what the situation is. He says, but violence covered the mouth of the wicked. Violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. So everything this wicked person is going to spew out of his mouth is wickedness. Why is wickedness coming out of the mouth? Because of the absence of love. So something that we can find true is that God's word is basically going to be teaching us that the absence of love is wickedness. The absence of love is hatred. The absence of love is apathy. So when we come to the next verse, and James will tell us where strife is, there is every evil work. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Wow. What is the point? The point is not me going around pointing out people's sins. While you deal with sinful actions and attitudes, he says, love is of you broadcasting the limitations in people's lives. Love covereth. Is that me? I don't think so. There is a rumbling going on. I don't think it's my mic. Hatred stirreth up strifes. And basically the word of God is saying to us, hey, don't operate in hate. It's going to generate fightings, battlings. I was just visiting at the hospital and was coming, got into the elevator, and there was a lady in front of me, and on the back of her shirt, she has the word fighter. I said, what? Who goes about writing? Wearing a shirt saying, I'm a fighter. Well, there's a place for fighting, but why are you doing that? Some people just generate fights. And they generate fightings because they not only don't love other people, they don't love themselves. They thrive when things are in total commotion. If you have to, day in, day out, try to find fault with people, you mean. You can't be going around just poking all over the place. Not everything is worth fighting about. Love covereth a multitude of sins. You just see some things and you just say, ah, not worth talking about. At least not right now. Because the reality is, when there's hatred, there's going to be nagging. You're going to be nagging people, driving people up the wall. Well, I love you, that's why. No. Even God doesn't show you all of your issues all at the same time. Because if he does, you will give up. So he will deal with one thing at a time. And then when you think, oh, it's all fixed, he will show you the next one. And then when that is all fixed, then he will show you the next one. But he would do it in a loving way, in a caring way, so that you find hope for tomorrow. Amen? In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Powerful. God's word is saying, if you lack understanding, I'll make you understand. Understanding comes by the rod. Now, sometimes people don't want to change. They just want to do whatever it is they want to do, how they want to do it. And as a scorner, if you talk to them about whatever it is that they're doing wrong, directly or indirectly, they get mad at you. You now become the problem. You know what happens to people like that? They get a rod. Why do they get the rod? Because God loves them. God will chastise those that he loves. Why? Because he hates them? No, because he loves them. And he wants change to take place. So you're not listening, you're not cluing in. I've tried this way, I've tried that way, tried this, tried that. You're still not getting it. Okay. It's going to hit the fan. And you're going to have to learn and come to a place of understanding. The place of understanding is a place of revelation. The real deal gets revealed to you. And your senses come back to you. The prodigal son that left home had to hit rock bottom for him to come to his rightful mind. Sometimes the discipline of God is the mercy of God. Actually, let me not say sometimes. Every time, the discipline of God is God's mercy. Say, but I'm getting hit. No, it's mercy. It's better for you to get hit now than to spend an eternity without God. Amen? Get corrected now. Now, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. He gets the rod because he lacks understanding. But the previous part, the A part of verse 13 says, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. How? In what he says. Wisdom is found. But this is the interesting thing about that statement. What's interesting about it is this, that wisdom is not just what you say. It is the actions you take because you're wise. I will liken a wise man to the man who came heard my words and did it. That's a wise man. That man dug deep and built his house on a rock, the rock of revelation. So that's a wise man. He came, heard my words, did it. He says, but I'll liken a foolish man to a man who comes, hears my words, and doesn't do it. You're not obeying my words. You're not doing what I called you to do. Here is the smack. Now, the smacking most times doesn't come from God. The smacking comes from people and comes from the devil. So why would you say that? Well, because by foolish actions, we open a pathway, an access point for the enemy that causes the enemy to come into our lives and wreak havoc because we have not listened. We've not followed through with the directives of God. How do we address that? How do we come to this place of understanding and wisdom? It happens based on what verse 14 is going to say to us. Verse 14 says, wise men lay up knowledge. Because God gives you information every day. Let me say that again. God gives you information every day. And if you are wise, you pay attention to what's happening on the inside of you and what's happening around you and learning. Having snapshots of things all around you. I have learned through my life from believers. I've learned from non-believers by simply paying attention and watching. If you are going to be in business, lay up knowledge. If you're going to walk as a believer, lay up knowledge. There is no information that God is allowing to come your way that is useless information. Let me say that again. There's no information that's useless information. Whether it's good information or bad information, it's all good information. Bad things, that's not what I should do. That bad situation has not become good information. Praise the Lord. Something good happens, say, wow, that's good. Now that has become good information. Every information is good information. And wise people lay up knowledge. But the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Wow. Laying up knowledge, and then we flip to the mouth of a foolish person. So what is the word of God saying? Wise men lay up knowledge. 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 Oh. It means that wise men, remember what we talked about prating? Yap, yap, yap. Wise men take in information and know strategically when to release that information. They treasure it. It's not everything that you know that you spout out. This was a challenge for me for years. That as one preaching the word of God, certain information I feel I need to share because it's going to be beneficial to the body, but that same information might be detrimental to somebody else. And I used to want, Lord, how do I deal with something like this? Do I have a class for a certain group of people and teach them deep things, and other people, you know, just go shallow? And he said, no. I said, so what do I do? He says, those that have ears, hearing ears, will hear what you're saying. Those that don't have hearing ears will not hear it. So if I speak on keys of the kingdom, those that are going to benefit from it are going to hear it. Those that don't need that information are not going to hear it. He said, yes. Just preach my word. You mean if I show things, some people are going to get it and some are not going to get it? He said, yes. The God of this world has blinded them. Just preach. Just teach. Those that need it will have it. They will keep it. They will grow with it. They will flourish in it. But those that have not surrendered their lives to God, to me, he says the enemy will come and he will scoop that word off. Now, watch this. Wise men lay up knowledge. Remember the parable of the sower? Some seeds fell on the pathway. And the word of God says, because they did not have understanding, the enemy caught that which was sown in their hearts. First time I started meditating on that, I said, how is it that it is sown in their hearts and the enemy caught it? He didn't say, dug it out, caught it. He said, because of the lack of their understanding, they will speak foolishly. That's how the enemy gets it. So what do we do? When we hear the word of God as people of understanding, what we should do is meditate on that word until that word becomes part of you. Amen? It becomes part of you. You meditate on it. You meditate on it. You dwell on it. You think about it until it becomes you and you become it. That is wisdom. But the mouth of the foolish, who is not a doer of the word of God, he says that person, that mouth is near destruction. He didn't say it is destroyed. He says it is near destruction, meaning there is room to change. And when you have the opportunity to change, change. Let God's grace abound towards you. Now the bottom line to all of this, just like the word of God in the first few chapters addressed the issue of immorality, there's going to be a shift, because the shift now is going to bring us to the place where God is going to begin to teach us the principles of wealth and riches. What needs to happen? Number one, a wise man lays up knowledge. When you have information, please hear this. When you have information and you want to do business, don't go about broadcasting it. Because if you're broadcasting it, somebody else is going to take that idea and do it, and you will be the copier, the photocopy, not the original. I hope you got that. You have an idea? Meditate on it. Consult with the Lord. Let the Lord help you think it through. And then do what you got to do. And then people will see, huh? When did he do that? It's done already. You go yapping about it. Don't be surprised that your yapping will put you in the back, in the caboose. Just talk with the Lord about it. If there is a trusted man or woman of God that you know will keep what you say and pray with you and help you, then share. But if the person that you're trying to share is a yapper, don't do it. Because they're going to yap away everything that you plan on doing. Don't do it. This is the reason many times that I will not tell a soul what I'm going to preach about. I don't even tell me what I'm going to preach about. I want to consult with the Lord. I want to meditate on the Word of God. I want to just let that Word sink deep within my spirit. And I embrace that Word and still don't know which direction I'm going to go with that message. If you see me on Sunday and I know perfectly, exactly, full throttle, what I'm going to talk about, the best I can do is say, I'm thinking about talking about something, but it's the Lord that is going to help me. I know my scripture. If I need videos, I know what videos that might work. And if I'm in that particular flow, then those videos come up. But there have been times when I've asked for a video and the message went in a totally different direction. Video's not necessary. Because God had something else to deal with. Amen? Hallelujah. So, but lay up knowledge. Lay up knowledge. Pull information. Geography, physics, chemistry, all of that is God's truth. Hallelujah. Just pull up, just get the information. It all works. Now, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. Now it's making a shift. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. In essence, is a defense. And God's word, we'll find out as we keep on going, will tell us that two things are a defense. There's three, actually, but two primary things that are defined by the third one. Wisdom and money. And as we keep on going through this book, you're going to find that statement coming up. And the third one is glory. But glory is all that God is. And so it says, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. It becomes a defense. But the destruction of the poor is their poverty. So what does that tell you? A poverty is good? No? So what else is it saying to us? It already told us, using those same words, destruction, it aligns that word destruction to foolishness. Verse 14. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is what? Near destruction. Now, does it mean that all poor people are foolish? No. But what it does mean is, if you stay foolish, you stay poor. Let me say that again. If you stay foolish, you will stay poor. Because God's will, the Word of God says, wealth and riches are in the house of the righteous. Is that what the Word of God says? Okay. Now, the mouth, verse 11, the mouth of a righteous, a well of life. Everything God created, He spoke into place. That must mean then that if I am poor, the Word of God says I should do something. Let the poor do what? Say I'm rich. Poverty is not just about work. It's about what you're saying out of your mouth. I am rich. I am rich. You know what God says? When you keep on saying, I am rich, God is going to say, let's not make him a liar. He's got to be rich. Amen? I was listening to one of the messages I must have preached in 2020 or 2019. I think this morning or yesterday. And I was saying, when you start saying bad things about your life, God will agree with you. And I said, God will agree with you because God does not want you to be a liar. So he will agree with you. According to what you said out of your mouth, that's what I'm going to do. Why don't we try it the other way? I am rich. Wealth and riches are in my house. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. Wow. That's how God wants it to be. Stop speaking lack. Just speak what you want. Believe God for what you want, and it will become a defense. Praise the Lord. Now, prosperity is not just about you talking. You can talk all you want, speak the language of faith, but if there's no corresponding action, all for naught. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. the labor of the righteous tended to life. Labor has to do with work. But how did God work? He spoke. Now, what does the previous verse say to us? The mouth of a righteous, a well of life. In verse 11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. And now we're reading from the Word of God, the labor of the righteous to life, tended to life. That is the well of life. That is his mouth. What is the point? God uses the word labor because labor has to do with physical work. But he's saying to us basically is this. Listen, all your talk followed by corresponding actions of working must be in alignment. If you are working physically, but you're talking negativity into whatever it is that you're doing, don't expect riches. Don't expect increase. Don't expect life. Your mouth and your actions have to correspond, and they must be tied up with what the Word of God says. You know what I've learned these 40-something years of ministry is that people, many times, when push comes to shove, are more in tune with speaking death into their lives than they are in speaking life into their lives. They allow their circumstance to determine everything. Well, there's a place for circumstances. What you don't have, you don't have. But faith must always put you in line to having God's will done in your life. Amen? So, if your mouth and your labor that's meant to tend towards life is not what you are pursuing after, then the Word of God says the fruit of the wicked is going to tend to sin. I want you to notice it says the fruit. The fruit is the end result. And the fruit is a result of the seed that was planted. Get that? The fruit comes from the seed. Will we agree with that? Okay. Then it is imperative that if we don't want a particular fruit, that we've got to deal with the seed. The very moment you see the seed, that it is corrupt, get rid of it, destroy it. It is better to have a delayed harvest that is good fruit than to have a harvest now that is born out of a corrupted seed, which will bring to sin. People end up sinning not based on what they are doing right now, but based on what they have done in the past. Back to one of the messages I preached years back. It's about Jacob. That particular message had to do with Jacob saying to Laban, if you find your idols in my group here, let that person who has the idols die. Okay? Laban checked. Rachel had it, sat on it, lied and said, well, I'm going through my period right now. You know, I can get up and say, oh, I better not touch you. So Laban leaves. A few days later, God speaks to Jacob and says, you're going to be going into Bethel, the house of God, and I want you to get rid of every idol that is in the group. Get rid of all of it. So, and let everyone be cleansed. So he asked for the idols. And lo and behold, everybody brought their idols. And guess what? Rachel must have brought the father's idols also. Does he say, Lord God Almighty, I have pronounced a curse over my wife that I loved so dearly. Father, forgive me, I destroyed those words. No, he doesn't. Net result, Rachel is giving birth to a child. Let me back up. He collects all of those idols. Does he destroy them? No. He goes and he buries it under an oak tree. And because he buries those things, instead of destroying it, Israel is going to battle with idolatry for the rest of the life of Israel, even till this day. He did not destroy it. God says, get rid of it. He buries it. Why? Why are you burying it? You just made a seed out of that thing, and lo and behold, you bury it under an oak tree. An oak tree is a strong tree. It's a tree that you build with. Now you just affected generations. Now, he does not repent. What happens to the wife? She is giving birth to a child and she dies giving birth to the child and calls the name of the child Benoni. Benoni, son of sorrow. But thank God, this time around, he did the right thing. He immediately jumped on it and said, no, not Benoni, Benjamin, son of my right hand. Or else would have had another disaster. What we do affects the other generation. And we need to be very careful. They got the fruit. The fruit based on the seed was Israel struggling with idolatry. Even Solomon is affected by it. And he's supposed to be the wise one. Everybody's polluted because of a lack of repentance. When you find something wrong, God points out to it, you deal with it. Amen? There are things in my life that God has reminded me of, things I had no control over, things that my parents did, places that they took me to. And God puts his finger on it and say, deal with this. And so I start praying. I say, God, thank you for reminding me of this, bringing this to my remembrance. I repent of it. I denounce it. I reject it. I discount it off of my life forever in the mighty name of Jesus. And then I continue on. Because if I don't deal with that, that thing is going to come into my life, or come into the life of my children, or come into the life of my children's children. I have to deal with it. Amen? Praise the Lord. These last statements I've just made are of utmost importance. Deal with whatever it is that you need to deal with. As long as God reminds you of it, you need to deal with it. The fruit of the wicked tends to sin. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to do the wrong thing. And you're going to be controlled and influenced by it. Well, praise the Lord, you know, this is New Testament days, you know, and nothing like that is going to happen to me. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? In a broad sense, your sins, my sins, all of it has been dealt with. The price has been paid in full. But God still challenges you and I to come, and when he points out an issue, 1 John says, if we say we've not sinned, we lie and are not in the truth. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Now, 1 John chapter 2. Just to drive home the point. 1 John chapter 2. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye what? Sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He says, I'm writing to you, don't sin. But if you do, we've got an advocate. Right? Okay? And this advocate, he says, and he is the propitiation or the satisfaction, the one who has addressed the issue for our sins. And this is the part I want you to see. And not for us only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Yeah? So he is the satisfaction. He's paid the price for sin for the whole world. Does that mean that the whole world, everybody, don't need anymore to say, God, I need you to be my Lord and my Savior? Of course not. The price has been paid, but you have to confess. You still have to acknowledge that word of God and say, God, you're right, and I'm wrong. I need help here. I think it was about 5 weeks ago, I concluded the service by saying to all of us, say, Lord, help me, help me, help me. Remember that? That was a very strategic point. Because God was saying, there's stuff hanging around. I need help. I need help. Help me. Let the onslaught of the enemy not touch me. Help me. Help me. Help me. I'm not standing on my righteousness, but on his righteousness. Amen? Because if you dwell on your own, I can do it, I can do it, and you forget through Christ. Sorry, you're going to find out you can't. It's only through Christ who strengthens me. That's how. Amen? Don't come with fake righteousness. I'm so amazing. No. The amazing thing is that you are still in him by his grace. Acknowledge that he is the one. Remember Paul? He says, I'm the chief of sinners. Did he say that? Yeah. I'll blow it. I'm blowing it. It's not because of me. It's all because of his mercy. I'm not the person I used to be. But I'm not exactly all that I ought to be. But by God's grace, I'm being changed. As I behold his face, I'm being changed into the same image. Day by day, from glory to glory. And all of that is because of him. All of that is because of him. His mercy, his love. That's why we don't practice sin. Now, we don't practice sin. Anything goes. No, no, no. Anything does not go. You know, I think that there are so many people that we've confessed into heaven, so to speak. Oh, this brother, this sister is before the Lord. Hallelujah. No, they're not. Not if you're practicing wickedness in your heart and you're not walking in love and you're practicing unforgiveness and you're filled with bitterness and generating strife, you're not going in. Doesn't matter what I say. Doesn't matter what I believe either. Is there security in salvation? Yes, absolutely. In you understanding, it is him. It is him. So you don't get the fruit of wickedness. Mercy, 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 Lord, help me. Let your goodness follow me all my days. Speak into my life. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. The Lord Jesus made a statement. He said, stop staring at other people and trying to, you know, get stuff off their eyes when you got a big log. Take care of your log first. Your view is skewed. you're not seeing clearly. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? You know, the best thing you and I can do is watch for our own selves. What kind of life are you living before God? And start looking at everybody else. Well, God has given me a gift. What is your gift? I'm a fruit inspector. Good for you. Good for you. You and I need so much help. Amen? There are judgments that we make because we don't understand what's going on. You know, I think it's in Proverbs 7, it says, if a man grabs some food and starts eating it, nobody found out about it, he says, it's fine. But if he's caught, he's got to pay back sevenfold. And I'm thinking, he's caught, he's not caught, what's the difference? He stole something. Same judgment. And God said, no, you don't understand why he went there and grab that fruit from that tree and start eating it. You don't know what he's gone through. Why this happened? You have no clue. So let it alone. Don't jump on everything. It's not worth it. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying, and I'll say it again, I am not saying, and I'll say it the third time, I am not saying, I'll say it the fourth time, so I cover north, east, west, and south. Every direction. I am not saying that wrong is okay sometimes. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that living in the world of judging everything is not the position you need to take. Loving people, as we read, love covereth a multitude of sins. Proverbs says, love covereth sins. Yeah? That's a position. You just say, brother, what's going on? This is out of character. This is not the character of the Lord. So how did you get here? Well, this, that. How can we solve it? What can we do? You see a husband and wife, and one day they said, oh, they divorced. Oh, yeah. You don't know what's happening behind the closed doors. You have no clue. So before you start shooting your mouth off, hush it and say, what exactly brought about this? How can I learn from it? What can I do about it? Because sometimes I'll wrap up with this. The divorce did not happen because of physical actions, sometimes the mouth. You keep on saying, I hate you. Dummy, stupid, crazy. I wish I never met you. Those words from seed become a fruit. I don't want to ever talk with you. Now, I was just joking. No, don't just say I was just joking. Repent. Because what you just said, whether you meant it or did not mean it, is being worked on by the devil. And one day you find yourself in a vast wilderness, lost. The marriage is kaput. But didn't happen because one person committed adultery, one person lied, one person did this. If you were going to just talk with them and find out what happened, they would not be able to tell you what happened. They will not be able to point out, because if they start talking about whatever the problem is, you say, you're getting divorced because of this? Huh? The guy snores, that's why? Excuse me? Sleep in a different room, get earplugs, whatever. This is nonsense. You've been married for 50 years and you're getting divorced. How many more years do you have to live? Well, it's all the talk. And that talk, the devil has been working it. And now, kaput. You destroy your business, your mouth. Destroy relationships, your mouth. We need to be absolutely careful. Because this mouth, the seed, is going to bring the fruit of sin. We'll stop there. Praise the Lord. I thank God for everyone that's been here tonight. Those possibly online. And may the Lord help us all grow in wisdom, in understanding, and operate in the fullness of God's goodness all of our days. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. For the time that we have shared together as your people in exploring your word together. We ask, O God, for transformation by the word of truth. We ask, O God, for the eradication of everything that is not you. Bring about change in our lives. Let there be a transparency. It causes us, O God, to walk vulnerably before each other in the spirit and attitude of love, being able to address issues that have plagued and challenged. We ask for mercy. We ask for your help. We ask, O God, for grace to abound. Help us, Father. Do in us and with us great and mighty things. And may the life that we live testify of your goodness, Most High God. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this time let us honor God with our giving. Encourage us to be reminded about the mission trip coming up. Lord, help us support the vision and get it done efficiently and speedily to the glory of the Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Look forward to having us on Friday for our prayer meeting, and then for us on Sunday for the service together. God bless you richly. Have a great, great night. Say bye to those that are on YouTube and Facebook. And is there anyone on Zoom? Okay. All right. Hi, Brooke. How are you doing today? There you are. Wow. You've grown so much, Brooke. It's amazing. Bless you. And Sister Sivol, bless you. Amen. Good to see you both on Zoom tonight. Blessings, blessings. All right. See you on Friday. Good night. Bye-bye.